Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What did Jesus teach? What did the apostles teach? And the thing that is so important to understand is that all of this in the New Testament centers around the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the day that he was crucified, the Passover day, 30 AD, April 5th, according to the Julian Roman calendar. And there are many proofs that that is the correct day. Just like everything else in Christianity in the world, they do not understand the Passover. They do not understand the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They do not understand that he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. And they do not understand that he was not resurrected on Easter Sunday. Now, with all of that that they don't understand, how can they call themselves Christians? How can they claim they can teach you how to be a Christian? Cannot be done. And when it comes down to, what do we take? The Christian Passover, or the Eucharist, or Communion, or the Lord's Supper? Because you see, if you don't have the right foundation, if you don't have the right way, if you don't understand the scriptures, how can you teach the truth? How can you understand who Jesus was, why he came, why his sacrifice alone can pay for the sins of all mankind? What he requires. Not what the church says or interprets that he requires. Because you see, unless you are a true Christian, now let me just give you a little summary of that. True Christian is one who's repented of their sins, which are the transgressions of God's holy and righteous and perfect law. And because they have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Master, and high priest in heaven right now, and have accepted Jesus as their personal Savior through his death. Because, you see, sin is a transgression of the law, and Jesus died for the sins of the world, and that is applied individually and directly to everyone who truly repents. Then, you have to be baptized by full water immersion in a covenant baptism with Jesus Christ. You are literally baptized into his death. And then you come up out of that watery grave because just as Jesus died and you want his death applied to your life, so symbolically, in order to enter into covenant with God the Father in Jesus Christ, the new covenant of eternal life, you must also present your symbolic death through full immersion in water. Because no one comes to God because they're good. No one comes to God because they feel that they want to do the will of God. You must come to God on his terms and his way and his manner and according to the instructions in the scripture and all the teachings of men to the contrary. You must reject because they will never bring you to God. Now we're in 1 John, the second chapter. And we are defining who and what is a true Christian because only a true Christian can partake of the Passover, the Christian Passover. And it must be done on the day that God has declared it to be done. It must be done in the manner that Jesus taught. and you must understand the meaning of it. There can be no additions to nor subtraction from. There can be no traditions of men to interpret it to mean things that it doesn't mean. See, because the truth is, the Christian Passover is that which defines true Christianity. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me, and that means through his death, shed blood, resurrection. Can't come any other way. And at the appointed time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, the ungodly then are sinners, and sinners must repent. And the first thing that Jesus said when he began preaching in Galilee is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and believe the gospel. And the gospel is contained in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those are the words of Christ. The apostles wrote everything that they wrote based upon the teachings of Jesus Christ. They never did away with the law. They never did away with the Sabbath. They never did away with the holy days. They never did away with the Passover. But Jesus taught them that everything on those days was elevated to a higher level of knowledge and understanding and teaching. Not an abrogation of the law, not an abolishment of the law. Everything was raised to a higher level. A spiritual level, because those who truly repent and are baptized receive the Spirit of God, which then is able to give them the strength and the power to walk in the way of God. And they must renew this new covenant with God every year on the Passover day, the 14th day of the first month, according to the calculated Hebrew calendar, at the time, in the way, and in the manner that Jesus Christ taught. Now, you must understand that. There are a lot of counterfeits out there. That's why I'm spending so much time on this before we get into how did Jesus teach them to keep the Passover, and what were they required to do? So let's move ahead here in 1 John, the second chapter. Verse 3, by this standard we know that we know him if, there's that little word again, we keep his commandments. Do you? Does your church? All of them? Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now notice verse 4. Here is the dividing line. And this becomes so important because if there is any one thing that the Christianity of this world, under the influence of Satan the devil, how could they be under the influence of Satan the devil? You know them by their fruits, and if they teach the teachings of men and the commandments and traditions of men, they are not of God, and it doesn't matter if they control the whole world. That's why this is fundamentally important. Verse 4, the one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. There are many, many of those out there. That's what Jesus said. For broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow and difficult is the way that leads to life. And life can only come through Jesus Christ. And life can only come through the Spirit of God. And life can only come through keeping the commandments of God. Because you see, sin is a transgression of the law, and the wages of sin is death. Now, verse 5. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one the love of God is being perfected. By this means we know that we are in him. Do you know you are in Christ Jesus truly, really? Do you know that you have the Spirit of God in you truly, really? If you do, do you keep his commandments? Verse 6. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk even as he himself walked. Are you walking as Jesus walked? What days did Jesus keep? The Passover, the holy days, the weekly Sabbath. What did he do? He showed the truth of God, the love of God, and he showed that there was an absolute dividing line that separated between him and the world and his followers and the followers of Satan the devil and those who follow in the world. And remember, Jesus also said, many would come in my name saying that I am the Christ and would deceive many. Question, where do you fall in that description? Are you a true Christian? Now, why did John write it this way? Because at his time, there was beginning of Satan's great conspiracy to change the teachings of Christ and the apostles. Later, these became the early church fathers. Isn't that interesting? How do you square that with what Jesus said? Because if you really are a Christian, you're going to believe and teach and follow what Christ taught. What did Jesus say? He said, call no man on earth your father, for you have one Father who is in heaven. So that means you can eliminate any church that calls their ministers fathers. Or early church fathers. The early church fathers were the early counterfeits that John was writing about here in 1 John. Now let's come to verse 18 of chapter 2. Little children, it is the last time, and just as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many antichrists have risen up, by which you know that it is the last time. Not only was that applicable at the time that John wrote this, because the apostolic age was coming to a close, but also that is a prophecy of our day, and it's just been multiplied all that much more. There are many antichrists out there. Notice verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us, because if they were of us, they would have remained with us. Nevertheless, they left that they might be exposed to show that they were not of us. They were not true Christian teachers. They were false teachers, like Paul wrote, that there would be grievous wolves enter into the church and devour the flock. What we have in modern Christianity is the result of that. Let's come to 1 Peter, the second chapter, and verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Do you follow in Jesus' footsteps? Jesus kept the weekly Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. Jesus kept the Passover of God. Jesus kept the holy days of God. Jesus kept the commandments of God. Jesus loved God the Father more than anything else. And he loved the brethren, and he loved the world. Look at all the miracles that he did for so many people, even though most of them ended up not even following them. Lot were like the example of the 10 men who were healed. Oh, Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. They were crying alongside the road as Jesus was coming. So he said, go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the offering. So they were healed. And only one came back to thank Jesus. And Jesus said, when the one came, thanking him, crying out to him, "Oh, Lord, thank you." Jesus looked at him and said, "Where are the other nine?" Now, he didn't rescind their healing. But they didn't come and thank God either. And that one was a Samaritan. And if you know anything about first century history, a Samaritan was forbidden to even be in his presence or even talk to him. You couldn't even walk on the same side of the road as a Samaritan because they were beneath the Jews. And that was a tradition of men. And that's why Jesus healed the Samaritan. And lo and behold, he was the only one that came to say, "Thank you." Now notice verse 22, who committed no sin, and that's important because his sacrifice had to be spotless and sinless. Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When suffering, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore within his own body on the tree the stake, the staros, so that we, being dead to sins, may live unto righteousness. Now, what does that mean? See, every human being has the law of sin and death in him or her. And you are dead to sin. This is why Jesus said to the young man who said, "Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go bury my father." He said, "Let the dead bury their dead." Because you're dead in sin. If you do not follow and keep the commandments of God and keep the true Christian Passover and keep the holy days of God, you are dead in your sins. And if you think any other way, then you better search out the scripture because you're not going to find it. And you know, the greatest thing that is the most disillusioning of all is after you've gone to church for years and you've been around all of these so-called good people, which they basically are good people. They're sincere. They're trying to do good, but they are not doing the goodness of God. They are doing the goodness of man, which comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not from the tree of life. Now, we are to live under righteousness. And what is righteousness? All your commandments are righteousness. And your law is the truth. Your commandments are the truth. And your precepts are true from the beginning. So a true Christian is going to walk in righteousness, keep the commandments of God, love his neighbor, love the brethren, and be in obedience to God. Now, let's understand something. It doesn't matter what kind of sanctimonious office, regardless of how high it's proclaimed to be, cannot change the foundation on which we are to build our Christian life. Let's pick it up here in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Now, let's understand, a lot of people credit Paul with doing away with the law. And the reason that they do is because they're oblivious to understanding about the Old Testament. They're oblivious to what Judaism really is and was. That's why you need the book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses, or A Religion of God. Let me tell you something. You can't understand the epistles of Paul unless you have the information that is in this book and you read it and you know it and you understand it, because what you assume to be true, what you assume to be right, may not be. And there are going to be a lot of people who are resurrected. They're going to think, "Oh boy, I'm going to get eternal life." And they're going to be just like this woman who thought that she had the winning lotto ticket to win $100 million. but it was off by one number.
And she got nothing.
Same principle. You have to have all of what God requires, and that is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because just as we read in 1 John the 2nd chapter, there were those going around preaching another Jesus, as Paul wrote of later. They were preaching another way of salvation. They were preaching that the laws and commandments of God were done away. And they were in the midst of amalgamating paganism with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, Corinth was the place of every heresy under the sun. That's why we have the two epistles to the church at Corinth. And here's what Paul wrote. Verse 10, as a wise architect, according to the grace of God that was given to me, I have laid the foundation, and another is building upon it. That was Apollos. But you have to build upon it the way that God says. But let each one take heed how he builds upon it. For no one is able to lay any other foundation besides that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. It has to be the true Jesus, not another Jesus. It has to be according to the way of God and the Scriptures, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No other way to get to the Father except through him. No eternal life in any way except the Bible says. And let's just throw in here, if you believe you're going to heaven, you are totally, absolutely deceived. And your Christianity is worthless as spoiled, polluted water. The Bible teaches the resurrection, not souls going to heaven. So you see, there's a lot you need to learn. That's why we have right online, you can download all kinds of articles, all kinds of things, which will bring you the truth. Do you really want the truth? Do you want the truth of God? Do you want to understand how God works, who Jesus Christ really is? Or are you just a religionist? Are you a Christian hobbyist? Let's read on. Verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation, so now we have the foundation of Christ, and we have to build. So then he gives the analogy here of gold, silver, precious stone. Now, if you build your Christian life with that, that shows you're building with love, you're building with obedience, you're building with faith, you're building with understanding, you're building with keeping the Sabbath, with keeping the holy days, and you are building the correct Christian way of life with Christ in you, walking in the steps of Jesus Christ. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, there are a lot of people out there. Their Christian lives are wood, hay, and stubble. Now, notice what's going to happen. The work of each one shall be manifested, for the day of trial will declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall prove what kind of work each one is. And if the work that anyone has built endures, he shall receive a reward. And that's what we want. We want the reward. Now, that's not earning. A lot of people say, well, if you keep the commandments of God, you're trying to earn your salvation by works. No, you are not. Let me ask you a question. If you keep the commandments of God, whose work is that? Is that not God's work? Yes, indeed. Yes, we're saved by grace. But we are God the Father's workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, that we should walk in them. See? The good works, to walk in them. Now, you need to understand that, because that's important. All right? Now, we are about ready to get into what is the Christian Passover. Now, we'll begin to cover that in the next segment. In the meantime, you need to write in for these books, and we'll send them to you at no cost, because there are faithful brethren who contribute and give. You need this book. Lord, what should I do? Living in the days that we are living in, what are you going to do? And you need to understand about this book, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. This will be a real eye-opener to you, and that will help you understand how absolutely far removed from the Scriptures that nominal Christianity in this world really is. And then you need the book, The Day That Jesus the Christ Died. Now, I wrote this after Mel Gibson did his famous movie, The Passion of the Christ. Now, there were some good scenes in it, but that was strictly Catholic tradition and interpretation. He didn't mention the day, which is the most important thing, because that was selected from the foundation of the world. He didn't mention that it was the Passover day. He did not show the 3 days and three nights in the grave. He did not show the proper day of the resurrection. So he gave about 25 to 50% of the meaning. And just like everything else that nominal Christianity does in this world, they take the name of Jesus and they leave out all the important things that are necessary to understand the truth. So it becomes as dramatic as it was, and some points in there that were very good. It becomes a dramatic expose of tradition and beliefs of men rather than the truth of God. And so here at Church at Home, we want the truth of God. We are scripturalists. We go by the Scriptures. We rightly divide the word of truth. We believe what is in the Old Testament and New Testament. And we, as Jesus said, we're to live by every word of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying so long, everyone.